Welcome to Boxcars, War Machine and Horde's supplementary podcast for War Room PL YouTube channel.
Welcome to Boxcars. It's episode 26. I'm Marcin and I'm playing minions.
I'm Rafał and I'm back and I'm playing Steel Creeks.
Oh, cool. And we have a special guest today, Pat, joining us again. And welcome, Pat.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
You're playing the greatest nation. No, you're playing Grimkin now, right?
Given up on Signar. No, taking a break from Signar and moved on to Grimkin.
Yeah.
So you joined the bandwagon of Grimkin players and breaking everybody's backs with Grimkin. But we will talk about it a bit later, but the Grimkin is very popular right now. I wasn't suspecting that high rate of Grimkin players, not that many Grimkin players.
Yeah, they've really taken off in the last few months, which is cool.
Yeah, because I was afraid that it will be only popular in the States, but it seems that looking at the data from Conquest, that it was really popular also in Norway.
Why did you think they'd only be popular in the States?
I don't know. I thought it's like States folklore and things like that. So I thought it won't catch up in Europe, maybe not in Poland, in Europe. But I was wrong.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Martin, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm just
checking Facebook.
No, falling asleep. No, I'm just kidding. I'm drinking a coffee right now. I will not fall asleep. I had because of our Conquest trip. And when I came back, I had a business trip that took me 2 days. So I'm really behind with my workouts. So I had to do two long workouts today, and I have one after the recording still to do. So I'm a bit tired lately.
Wow, that's some serious dedication.
Yeah.
He's doing everything serious.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, no fun. It's not fun involved, not at all.
That's my character.
Yeah.
Well.
So.
But I have fun from doing everything serious, so there is something in it.
Yeah.
Anyway, before we move on to talking about Conquest, you can contact us at www.warroom.pl. There is a contact to or links to our blog, YouTube, and Facebook. So, and also contact page. And also we have uploaded a bunch of videos from Conquest to our YouTube. So that's why you haven't seen night streams lately, because I was all busy doing the Conquest stuff.
Yeah, but people have seen them, because I have my colleague that is playing Grimkin was commenting Pat's game with Jekan. That is recorded. Our Poland that you played in Masters, I think.
Yeah, we had actually a decent amount of viewers during Conquest, and also a decent amount of views afterwards. So, although there was at some point Twitch turned off a voice in the video, nobody knows why. There was information that it was copyright problem with the voice, so probably Pat's voice is copyrighted somewhere, and Twitch caught on that and turned it off. So.
Maybe.
So I hope when I upload the podcast, they will not copyright the podcast.
And it will be me and you boring stuff, and then Pat.
Yeah, they will turn off Pat. All right, so we can move on to the Conquest, because that was our all three of us. We have been on this weekend, this past weekend in Norway, in Oslo, having fun and playing games. And at that point, I would like to thank all the organizers for putting great work and hosting a great event. I really had a great fun.
Yeah, it was really cool. Even not that expensive, we have to admit that.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but it was my first trip to Norway, and I was really, really glad to make the trip. The con was really fun, really laid back.
Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you.
I think the con had, well, compared to, because we don't have that many cons, and I was only to Klokon from our cons from War Machine. So compared to Klokon, it's a smaller con, at least because it was the first edition. So that's understandable before they will pick up the size. But I actually very like the size. Because of my personal nature, I don't like when there is too much crowd. So I was feeling much more comfortable in this size of event, where I knew I will still have a lot of games and high quality games to that. So it was all the best points for me personally, that it wasn't too crowded and still I could like play 10 or 11 games during one weekend.
Yeah, I have to say, even though it was the first year, and like you said, it was fairly small, it actually was not a bad size at all. I think there were about 80 attendees. And one thing that I learned, which I already knew, but was really hammered home, was just how strong the Norwegian meta is. Exactly. And you really do not need a lot of Norwegians in one place to have a very, very tough weekend of War Machine.
There are not that many Norwegians at all.
but I haven't counted the how many guys from the WTC teams were there. But I had games against two of them, and they were both tough games, and I lost both of them. But the Norwegian teams were second and 10th in WTC, so that says something about the level of the players there. So their meta is very strong, and the people who came also brought the high level of play. So it was difficult to get an easy game out there, which is maybe very good, I guess.
Oh, for sure. Also, the event was, despite the quality of play being really high, the event was very friendly. It was very laid back. Exactly. I didn't see a single contentious moment on any of the tables. It was really played in a very good spirit.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's true. There were no arguments or etc. Of course, this was actually a nicest event I've been to. I guess. Yeah.
I think that for the first edition, it was really great and worth to visit next year, because it can only get better, I suppose.
Exactly. Oh, definitely, it's on the calendar for me now. It's in a good spot for the beginning of the season, so to say. WTC is kind of end of the season. There is a room for, I don't know, changing a faction, changing the caster in between. So you can go to the first bigger event of the year. Well, in between is Glockcon, so you can go there, and then there is that. So that's nice. And I would need to maybe two more during the year to be completely
satisfied.
Completely satisfied with big events, of course, because the smaller tournaments or masters, etc., that's much easier to find. But the cons are.
Yeah, there are not that many. I spoke with some because I made some friends there. And I spoke with the guys afterwards, the one that I befriended on Facebook, and we spoke about the con, and they asked me about the Polish, if we have anything similar. And I told them about our IG qualifier that will be in Krakow in March. But the problem for many people is that if they intend invest money and time to come to, let's say, to the Masters tournament, they are guaranteed to play, let's say, 6 or 7 games. That's all, right? And the second problem is that if they have a difficult pairing during the early tournament, then they are a little bit demotivated because they are really, let's say, fighting for the places from 5 down or something like that. And he told me that he's not going to come just to play in one tournament. If there is an event like the Conquest or the Bonescon or ClockCon, then there is a simultaneous tournament. There is a chance if you have worse showing in one tournament, then you can go to the other one. And that's why the cons are so great, because you invest short amount of time, but get the most of the hobby, right?
Exactly. Yeah, optimizing your time, and that's the most important thing. Well, so we traveled with the plane this time, so we were limited with the amount of equipment we can bring to record games. So there were only 2 tables recorded, but this time we had no equipment failures, except one where I forgot to connect my laptop to power. But
whoops.
Yeah. I don't know, it was second day or third day.
He was shouting at me, Rafa, what did you touch the
what did you do?
We broke the computer down, and then oh fuck. I forgot
to connect it to the power. But luckily it has enough power to record the whole game, and then it shut it down. So so the game was not lost. So that's there is that.
And Pat, I have a question to Pat. How did you travel to Norway? Also flight?
Yeah, also flight.
Is it direct
Heathrow
from...
to Oslo?
Oh, okay. Is it because I think we have to give some information about the reality and the costs of the Norway trip, and it's not as frightening as everybody would think. Was it expensive for you to travel?
Midbusters.
Yeah, for sure. Norway has a reputation for being really expensive, right? But I think the convention organizers did a really good job of insulating us from that. They found a hotel that had really good rates, and then the hotel included breakfast and the con included lunch. So during the convention, we only needed to venture outside into the cold for one meal a day. And that kept costs a pretty reasonable level, because the flights are no more expensive, honestly, than anywhere else to Europe, at least not from the UK. So the flights were not especially much, and then accommodation and food during the con was pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I think it was on the level of UK, because I was in SmokeCon last year and we were in ClockCon, and I think that hotel in ClockCon at ClockCon is a little bit more expensive due to the location near the airport. So For the country that is, I think, the most expensive in Europe, and normally has two or three times more expensive prices, higher prices than the other countries, it was really great that they managed to get the costs low.
Yeah. One thing that they couldn't change was the cost of beer, which even though we got a discount, that was certainly the biggest tax on the event. It didn't stop a lot of people, but...
No. Our colleague from Poland ate less, but drink more to equalize the calories.
Yeah, because beer has a lot of calories and it's actually healthy in reasonable amounts. So
yeah.
So that would keep him going. But to sum up the cost, it was like our plane ticket cost 100 euro around both sides. Then we took a taxi, but needed because the train was faster and cheaper. It was like 10 euro one way. And then hotel double room for 2 days was like 90 euro. So our total cost could have been like 210 euros, which is plus, of course, the ticket to the con. But then if you're going to go, you will have to pay the ticket anyway. So 210 euros for the trial plus stay, it's really cheap, I guess.
Yeah.
And you can bring food from home for dinner.
But they said they are thinking about for next year to make a deal with the dinner as well.
Okay.
In the con price. And that would be then the most expensive thing. The dinner outside would be then also in reasonable prices.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that would be nice. So I can only encourage everybody to go next year, or maybe
we will
think about making that in middle of the year somewhere.
Yeah, they told us that they are thinking about that because the prices for the resorts that are around the Oslo during the vacation time is so low, of course, for Norway, because most of the people are traveling there during winter to ski or to sightsee. But during summer, it's empty because people go to the warmer places. So they will try to organize something at the times of Ironwood to take up the slack of Ironwood and continue, maybe.
Yeah, that would be nice. This was, of course, a loose idea they had and was not in any way planned yet, so they might back up from that. But I would really like if they'd done it. I would do everything to get there. Of course, we don't know when and where exactly, but if there is a plan for that, I will for sure try to be there as well. Okay, so to the event itself, it was run very smoothly. They were a bit threatening that they will turn off the clocks, etc., and have draws and or double losses, but I never seen it happen. But I guess when you're organizing event this size with multiple tournaments happening at the same time, you have to keep some kind of the schedule going.
Yeah.
So then there were breaks like lunch and dinner where you could make up the time that you had if you started too late. And I was always starting too late because of the stream and because whenever I played against an opponent, I had to explain him what my army does, especially that at many points I forgot what my army does myself.
Yeah.
But I will come to that later.
That's right. I just wonder if people, Pat, are people asking you all the time about the Grimkin or not anymore?
Yeah, still quite often. Not so much in tournaments. People, you've usually played against them enough. Also, it really helps that I have cards, right? And you can just hand people your Arcana cards and they kind of figure it out. But yeah, in casual games, I still get all kinds of questions about them.
Okay. Nobody ask anything about the Crix, honestly. What's your threat range? That's the only question.
And everybody said to me, I don't know anything about minions. I played minions like
once.
2 months ago. Yeah. So that was nice. I learned a lot when I explained people what my army does.
But it seems that not everything.
And I still forget stuff. This is crazy. Yeah, but I guess I'm not even reached 50 games with minions, so I will still keep on forgetting stuff. That is unavoidable.
At the same time, there was a side event or maybe similar event to ours. It was Kings of War. I think it was 20 or 30 people, something like that. For the fans of late Warhammer Fantasy Battles. Okay, and I think we can go smoothly to some details about the con and about the faction representations and some data to crunch.
Yeah, I had, when I summed up the tournaments, I think that this is not 100% of everything, but these are the numbers from the Masters and Champions and most of the steamroller. So the team tournament is not there for sure, and I don't know what else. But the data that I gathered is up on our Facebook, so you can go check it out. And everybody is excited about Legion of Everblight win percentage.
Yeah.
Because there was only one player, and he was playing, I think he was playing AB2.
All the time.
All the time. And he's he won 10 games out of 11, which gave him a nice 91% win percentage. So.
Yeah, he did real good.
I have to admit that I think it is my personal view that he was spot on with his list into the current meta, where, and maybe also matchups where there is not so much shooting. And he's got long threat ranges in melee, so he could like fit in with his playstyle and everything. So he smashed everything he went in. That's my, of course, not taking away, he's a very good player, so that's also have to say that. But these all things combined, he gave him such a nice record.
Yep.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so he was a really good player. He definitely had a good pair. I think you're right in regards to the meta. I think Legion in general are pretty underestimated right now. When they their CID started last week, and a lot of Legion players cheered it as a chance for Legion to get buffed. And that kind of surprised me, because I think Legion are actually really strong. And certainly the one player... Conquest proved that, at least at that event.
Yeah, exactly. JVM proves it pretty regularly, and the most games I have is versus a Legion player, and although I think I know all the tricks of Legion, or many of the tricks of Legion, I get caught at the least moments I expect, at the least expected moments, and get killed or smashed, etc. So it's really difficult. And when I'm up against twins, it's really, or Fianna too, then I know it's no fun at all. So
yeah, I lost against him. So I, but I play poorly because honestly, we don't have much Legion in Poland, and I rarely play. We have one player, I think, or two in Poznań, but I rarely play against them. So, and at cons, I didn't have a chance to play Legion for a long time. Last time it was with Mercenaries, with Ostrum, I think. So, and Ostrum is great into Legion. So, I thought it would be different. And before the game, I spoke with our former Legion players, so Jekan, Mateusz, and Mateusz told me that, oh, it's easy, 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 easy. Doesn't seem so.
Yeah, I mean, we'll go to the meta-analysis later on, but looking at the faction distribution, it was pretty even. So the Grimkin, Protectorate of Menoth, Krix, Signar, Circle Oberos, and Skorn, they were all at the more or less the same level. And right behind was Mercenaries, and then the least represented was Legion, only one player I saw, so that's what I noted.
There were Minion. And Kaidor was also Legion.
Yeah, and Retribution of Syrah, only two players I think they were there.
I think
Avengers, three players. So, and Troll was also, I thought actually that there would be more Trollbots players because of the recent CID, so that I was surprised that there were so few.
Yeah, no, I was saying I was also surprised at that. It seems like Trolls are in a really good spot right now.
Yeah, but the amazing thing is that Kaidor from one of the most popular factions in Europe, and right at the Conquest there was our good doctor playing, so Norbert. was playing Kader as always, and there was, I think, one more guy, or maybe two, but I saw one more. And previously, you had like 10% or 15% of Kader players, like 6 months ago. But due to the, I think, due to the problem of Kader, that Kader has with Kriegs, they are less popular now.
Yeah, so that's why what I learned on Ironwood as a general con tactics, so to say, get day one, get the feel of the meta. I mean, just take your list, play them, and see what's prevalent, what's winning, how do the lists look, what can be a problem. If, for example, Ironwood was swarming with Signar and Kriegs, and I wasn't happy because I had no real answer for Signar nor Kriegs, or I thought I have an answer for Kriegs, but it wasn't really the right answer. So Ironwood didn't go very well for me. But then on Conquest, I thought I'm more or less prepared equally for all factions, so it was pretty good that the spread was equal as well. So.
It's funny you say that, because I did exactly the same thing. I played in Champions, had an eye to the field for day two of Masters, and made a pair for Masters that was weak to Legion, because I saw only one person was playing Legion. And right. This did not work well for me in the final rounds.
True. Well, you should have taken into account that one Legion player will smash through everything and unleash you in the finals.
Yeah, I should have done.
Yeah, but this is something that we always. When I plan my pair, I somehow always think about Signar. It doesn't. Even if the tournament has only one or two players, I'm not concerned about. I don't know about Skorn, for example, although Skorn is strong. I'm concerned about Signar. What I'm going to drop against KD Tree, for example, or Nemo Tree. It's my main concern, so to say. And then I get blindsided. And I don't know how to tell this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Blindsided. Blindsided, yeah, exactly. I get blindsided by, for example, Grim King. Yeah. So.
Okay. I think that we can. Yeah, as always. I think that we can slowly go to the list that we played during the event, right? And I think that our guest should start.
Exactly.
Okay. Sure. So, lists I played. In three different events over the con. I mean, that's one of the cool things about cons, right? Over normal tournaments, yeah. You get to play in lots of different events. So I played in Champions on the first day, Masters on the second day, and the Invitational on the third day. And I had slightly different lists for all three. But the three casters that I played over the three events were Heretic, always in Dark Menagerie theme, Dreamer in Dark Menagerie, and then Old Witch 3, either in Dark Menagerie or in Bump in the Night theme. Dark Menagerie is the Beast Heavy theme for Grimkim, and Bump in the Night is the Infantry theme.
Okay.
Yeah. How deep do you want me to go with list explanation? That's my question.
Not too deep, I would say, because...
Maybe why I would like to know why the pair, because the army lists of Grimkin are usually quite similar. The biggest change is usually the warlocks. So why this pair, for example?
Great question. So champions obviously is ADR format, so you only have four casters to choose from. The four available for Grimkin right now are Wanderer, King of Nothing, Heretic, and Old Witch. Of those four, I have played many, many games with Heretic and quite a few with Old Witch, and I've hardly touched Wanderer or King of Nothing. So that was a no-brainer. I was always going to play those two casters. I also think they're an incredibly good all-comers pair, which is great news, right? So they're a really strong pair that are also on ADR. I took the same two casters through to masters because being on ADR meant I got specialists. And it is a real treat with Grimkin after list selection to be able to tailor your list and tailor your feat for your opponents. It's pretty pretty obnoxious. So obviously taking a strong pair that deals well with the field and then having the luxury of specialists on top means you don't have many bad matchups other than the Legion one, which maybe I'll talk to you later. And then the difference for Invitationals was the Invitational was not that format. So it didn't use Masters or ADR. Yep. So it was a rare opportunity for me to play a caster who's not on ADR. I think the Child is great, but I really, really love playing the Dreamer. And knowing in an Invitational format, you know who's playing ahead of time. You can guess what their lists are going to be. The field is small, right? It was only 8 players in 3 rounds. So I was pretty confident I could take Dreamer paired with Old Witch and have a good matchup into everyone that was playing.
Do you think that, because I know that you played Heretic for a long time, we played each other at ClockCon, so it was like two months ago or even more, and I think you played it before. Do you think that the Dreamer is better or different from the Heretic?
So, Raph, you may or you may not be pleased to know that you were the reason that I picked Dreamer over Heretic. It was all down to you.
Because of the scar?
Yeah, specifically because I think Dreamer and Heretic have a lot of similar matchups, especially because their lists are almost identical. But the Heretic is better at stopping infantry because he has Rebuke and he has Wall of Fire. And those two things combined stop two units charging, which traditionally makes him a better Crix drop. But you were the only Crix player in the field. And actually, you were the only person. Nobody else was playing lists that were likely to have a lot of infantry that I was going to be worried about with Dark Menagerie. So it was only your list that I was really thinking about when I was thinking, do I need a Crix answer? The day before, we had played in Masters. And you had dropped your Scar 1 list into me with basically no infantry, like 2 min units of cavalry, double Wraith Engine, 4 Stalkers. That list is amazing, by the way, and we should talk about it. But I knew that Heretic was not especially good, right? His toolbox didn't work against that list. And I thought your list was good enough that if you played again, you would drop it again. And I decided, well, if that's the case, I'm not even going to want a Heretic anyway. So I can go with Dreamer and be at least even in that matchup and maybe slightly advantaged relative to Heretic, because Dreamer's tools, I think, are more useful, in particular Manifest Destiny. And I also thought Dreamer would probably be better into the rest of the field.
Okay, I understand. Yeah, I think that because I think we will come back later for our game, but I understand. Also, if we replayed them, if it happens that we replay the game, then it would be easier for me to play against the same caster that I played already twice against you and several times against people in Poland. And I played only 2 times against Dreamer, so it was a wise decision.
Great point. I hadn't thought of it from that point of view, but yeah, makes sense.
Okay, so it seems that it was a tactical decision to go for the Dreamer and to be better prepared for the Crix.
Yeah.
And you like Old Witch, and I thought about your Old Witch list because we are dodging the same list with my friend in Poznan, but I thought that we have to go with Dreadrots. But after looking at your games, and Holman are the way to go. And that's all what I want to say.
Yeah, I think there is a place for Dreadrots, and I think lists with Dreadrots are good. But the thing about Holloman is they're almost as good at Dreadrots in melee, but then they also have guns. And they're not significantly more expensive, and they're not significantly easier to kill.
Yeah, but they have much better toolbox.
Exactly. So that's why, given the choice between the two units, I would rather have Holloman most often.
Yeah, I understand that. Okay, so we have Pat's list, dodged a little, and now Marcin.
Yeah,
I had to dodge all the time, okay, because he was like he was getting married and he was changing the time, changing his opinion every moment. So I had to listen to him for 3 days. Okay, what shall I do? Is it going to be painful? I don't know, Marcin. I really don't know.
stop crying like a baby. So I went for Barnabas 1 and Jaga Jaga because they have ADR and most of the tournaments had ADR. So
yeah, so similar reason as Pat.
Yeah, similar reasons as Pat because we had minions have a great toolbox in the solos and changing the solos in the list changes almost what the list can go against, like adding Orin versus, for example, Heli 2 makes it possible to play against her, for example.
And he is still naming a signal caster as the first one that he thinks about.
And he, for example, adding what's his name? The new
Irish.
Irish makes a game playable versus typical run with the mages. So I took a bunch of solos to that and that was the reason for those casters.
But you had divided the list to suit it against certain matchups. So one was like armor drop, one was infantry drop, or not?
Yeah. Jaga Jaga was slightly better armor drop, and Barney was anti-shooting, but it was. Well, if anybody read their cards, they would find it out generally. And I didn't make many changes from the day one to day two. I think I added one more Swamp Horror because Swamp Horrors are just great. And so I played. So I played two Swamp Horrors. Just a second, I need a 30-second break.
I will go with my list, don't worry, okay? So, think because they are quicks. I have played the Scar 1, Denny 1 pair, both in Dark Horse, because it was travel arrangements. It's much easier to transport the same list. To Clockcon, I took Spixis and Dark Horse, and it was a lot of models. As I played Scar 1 list that has both two battle engines, they take a lot of space, so I don't have much room left in the bag. So I decided to take the same list, similar lists at least. My Scar 1 list is against Grimkin, good, pretty good, I think. If I learn to play it better, I think she has a chance against Grimkin. What do you think, Pat?
Yes, definitely.
Because I outrange Grimkin, I have plenty of grievous wounds, so sacrifice is not working on me really. And if I just learn to position the army in a proper way to get the proper alpha strike, because I think playing against Grimkin is all about the alpha strike. You have to punch really hard to get the proper attrition, right?
Yeah. Well, your list definitely has the threat range to get a lot of models in. It struggles a little bit to get both Wraith engines in with the huge bases, but the Stalkers with Leap and medium bases, it's quite easy to find spots for them. Even if the Grimkin player is trying really hard to deny them, you can use cavalry and you can even use Scar's AoE spell if you have to, right? You can use various techniques, her sacrificial strike. You can do a lot of things to clear just enough space to get Stalkers in. And with her feet and Dark Guidance, a single Stalker can cripple a heavy, and with, like you said, with Grievous Wounds, that's all you need. If you can get two Stalkers in, you're very likely to kill one.
Yeah, that's right. And my men of the match are Overlords, because maybe against Grimkin, they are usually only good for trying to clear Gremlin Swarms, but they are pretty okay at that. They are hitting on sixes, and wounding, they are -2 for the damage roll. So they're pretty okay to kill one. And if you combine two or three sprays, then they are pretty. You are pretty assured that you can kill the Gremlin sworn that you need to get a room for the Alpha Strike. And the good thing is that you can target whatever you want. So you don't have to worry about the Cage Ranger, because you can target things that if Gremlin player didn't play before earlier against the Overlords, he doesn't know that you can target, for example, Death Knell or something really far away at the back to get the proper angle. So that's why the Overlords are there. And besides, they are quite good at clearing infantry at the later stages of the game. And the second list was standard De Negra 1 with Banes. I had 4 units of Banes, 2 small units of Warriors, so the one with the Weapon Master, and they had attachments for free. I had big units of Bane Knights and small units of Cavalry as a mobile reserve, I would say. But and of course, Overlords, but I love them. I tested them in De Negra and against Orboros and I think Kador, and the Sprays with power 19 that are magic ability 7 are pretty cool, because if you fit and put Dark Shroud and Parasite on the model, then suddenly Overlord Sprays are power 19 and they can kill heavies no problem, especially if they are bunched up. So the lists were pretty similar. I had much more time with Scar, because I played since Lockdown. Then it was a fresh idea from my colleague from Poznan, Maestro, and was fitting to the travel arrangements. But I like the list quite. I don't think I will be playing that for a long time, but this is something that can go into infantry. It has 2 stalkers, so if I have to do some grievous wounding, it's okay. Sadly, Stalker is overrepresented right now at Krix, because it's so good and benefits from everything that Krix offers. So,
it's like Firefly and Charger in Sigma.
Yeah, I mean,
there are everywhere.
Yeah, it was the most popular Jack in ATC, I think. It was definitely the most popular model in Krix that was present at ATC. And I think that it's also quite popular in Conquest, looking at the army list. So I had Danny 1, Scar 1, both in Dark Host, because Dark Host is such a team force that it can really run by itself. That's funny, because we have tried, and I played without the caster. It was okay. Maybe not great, but okay. It tells about the... I'm so happy that they are nerfing Ghostly, really. But leave my Dark Host alone.
Yeah, poor Krix.
Yeah. Okay, but I think that so we have finished. Martin is back, and we have finished the army list.
The list.
Yeah, and we can slowly go to the games, right? Mm-hmm. To the most important ones, at least. Okay, and the successes that we achieved. So I think, as always, we start with with our guests. So Pat, if you had to highlight, let's say maybe not all, but the most important and the most striking games, what were they?
So, like I said before, I played in 3 events: Champions, mm-hmm. Masters, and the Invitational. You said you wanted to talk about results as well.
Yeah,
in terms of results.
Yeah, could do it
I came. So there were 2 qualifying spots for the Invitational and Champions. I came 2nd, so I snagged a spot there. And then there were 3 qualifying spots for Masters, and I think I also came 2nd at Masters. So I definitely qualified into the Invitational, which I won. So I came 2nd, 2nd, and 1st in the 3 events I played, which was pretty good going.
Can I interrupt for a second? Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't happen very often that you lose during 3 days twice. So this only says how strong the meta was.
Yes, that's true. And my losses were both to Norwegians, unsurprisingly. So the first game I wanted to mention, or in fact kind of a combination of 2 games, were my two games against Convergence. I played the same player in Champions and in Masters. That was Lars. I probably mispronounced his name horribly. One of the Norwegian guys. He was playing Axis and Orion, who is the new caster that arrived for Christmas for Convergence. So I got to play Old Witch versus Axis in Champions, and then Heretic versus Orion in Masters. Both games were terrifying. He completely smashed me in Champions. Basically, Axis with double TEP versus Old Witch with a bunch of goons did not go well for Old Witch.
I have a question, because I have a question from the audience, let's say. It's my colleague that is going into your steps path and is using your list and looking at your videos that we record your games. Why did you drop Old Witch into Axis?
So, it's a bit of a list chicken situation. And Lars and I discussed this in detail, especially after our two games over the 2 days. But the way I see it is, Old Witch is really good into Orion. Orion is playing... I'll talk about the list slightly. Axis was playing double TEP, four heavies, and servitors. Right, pretty standard Theme Force build. Yeah. Really good against shooting, hits hard, and the TEPs just kill all the infantry. That was paired with Orion, that was playing a really interesting list of... five of the modulators, I think that's what they're called. They are the heavy that has electric guns.
They're power guns and shooting in lines, right?
Exactly. They have two power 10 guns that shoot in lines. And then along with that was the, oh my gosh, I can't remember the name of this either, the new Convergence Colossal with electric stuff. Who knows what
Prime,
it is?
Prime Conflux.
Brilliant, the Prime Conflux. So... that list is really interesting because it's a gun line. The Prime Conflux obviously synergizes really well with the list because it pops out servitors that give plus two to lightning damage, just like Signar's Fireflies. So you and of course your Convergence. So with their focus mechanic, you can just allocate three focus or even less because you have the corollary, and that will mean your entire gun line has three focus to use to boost attack and damage rolls. Of course, Orion's feat makes them massive damage because it increases their attack or their damage rolls depending on the target. And then you have spells like Mage Sight and Spell Piercer, which augment that and make it really difficult to stop the guns being able to train on you. So that was a really, really cool list. And it was interesting because it was one of the few gun lines that can actually shoot a Dark Menagerie list off the table. Now, Dart Menagerie, Dart Menagerie is one of those lists that is traditionally impervious to guns. But what I've been finding is that it's so resilient that over time I take less and less anti-shooting tech in my lists.
I saw that you had only two Krabbits, right?
Exactly, two Krabbits, nothing else. And actually, some of my lists now only have one Krabbit. And what that means is, when you do run into some of these really harsh shooting lists, you're not as well prepared as you could be compared to some of the old DM lists that had maybe like six Krabbits, or run with Dreamer so they have Artifice, you know, or run with Child so they punish you for shooting heavies near the Child. But I didn't have any tech like that. And basically, the Orion list can just shoot down the Heretic list, but Old Witch stops it in its tracks because she has Windstorm. So she reduces the range of all of the guns by 5 inches, and they do not have a good range as it is.
Just 10 inches, I think.
Yeah, only 11 because they're Convergence. So yeah, that reduces their threat range to 11 inches because they're speed 5 and they go down to range 6, and that's horrible. So she stops that list, but it shoots down Dark Menagerie. Similarly, Axis is okay into Dark Menagerie, but not great. Because the TEPs can't reliably kill heavies. And because of the nature of their high-powered sprays, they often run into trouble with Arcana. Like, they have a hard time stopping things like Ill Omens and Sacrifice from triggering. Because you kind of, you just put warrior models in the way, and they're going to do a spray. They're going to damage the heavy, but not kill it. And they're going to kill the infantry, and you can trigger your Arcana whenever you want, basically. And although the heavies are good in Axis, they're not, you know, they're not especially advantaged into the Grimkin heavies. So Axis is fine into Dark Menagerie, but not great, in my opinion. I think some Convergent players may disagree. They may say he's really good. But my point of view is he's fine, but not great. But his TEPs just kill every single model in my old Witch Bump list. And that list, it can't shoot anything off the table because the Convergence theme has so many shield guards from all its little drones. Mm-hmm. And it can't charge to kill models because of Axis's feet. So basically, that was how the first matchup went. The list chicken happened. I ended up with Old Witch into Axis. And basically, every model in my army got killed by sprays. I went for a long shot assassination on Axis, got him knocked down with a Curse of Shadows on him, with 5 HP left and no more transfers before I ran out of attacks. No more focus. So I did a pretty good job of going for that assassination, didn't work out, and then Old Witch promptly got smacked by hammers. And then in our second game, I failed the list chicken in the other way around, and we ended up with Orion versus Heretic Dark Menagerie.
Okay.
This time it was Lars who went on the assassination and had a very, very good odds assassination on Heretic, but I got lucky, survived on two boxes, and then was able to kill him in return. So we had two tight games that were decided by very close assassinations. And one of the things that hammered home to me was how good Convergence is, both against Grimkin and with Orion. I think they just have fantastic pair that can handle pretty much everything the meta has to throw at it.
Yeah, I think so too. Because I think that Orion is really, he has everything that Signar has into Krix, for example. And but Krix Signar is lacking a little bit in melee output with her heli too toned down. But Axis is really can because if Krix is not charging, that it's not good for the Krix because the damage output is pretty low. So unless you are playing Scar or something like that, you are really pushing that into Axis, and he can. So he has this pair is really strong into Krix. And this is something important for the big tournaments. Yeah, so that was Convergence. And anything else? Because you learn more from the losses, right? So what do you think about the Legion maybe game?
So I realized, by the way, that we didn't mention the name of this Legion player who smashed everyone. His name is Martin. He was playing in Masters. I think his pair was Abby 2 and the Twins. As far as I know, that was his pair all weekend, but I could be mistaken.
Yeah, it was.
And he was definitely favoring Abby 2. I'm not surprised because Abby 2 is great and doesn't have very many natural predators right now in the meta. She is a bit more vulnerable to control and gun lines, and those things seem to be less popular.
Mm-hmm.
He unsurprisingly dropped Abby 2 into me. I think quite a lot has been said about Abby 2 into Grimkin, but she is one of the best answers in the game to Grimkin, especially Dark Menagerie. She out-threats Dark Menagerie lists by so much that she can dominate them on scenario and force them into her teeth. You know, they have no choice but to just advance into her army. If you go in piecemeal, then she will pick off models and use things like drag from Proteus, her own reposition move, and slipstreams from the side from the Seraph to make it so that she kills those models and then escapes retaliation. So you have to go in hard and cross your fingers, and basically it doesn't really work. So in Masters, I had two Dark Menagerie lists. I was relying on ADR to make me better into Abby 2, and what I discovered is ADR was not enough. I switched out my list so that I was basically just running 6 heavies and dreadrots, nothing else. And then I ran my list into Abby, who was already comfortably in the scenario zones by the time engagement happened. And in a single turn, Martin was able to kill 4 of my 6 heavies and every infantry model in my army and score a point. And I was just left with the Heretic and 2 Skinner Moans versus his whole army, which was in all 3 zones. It was an absolute disaster. And a good example of why Abby 2 is really strong and how that matchup usually goes in my experience. So I think that one was recorded on stream.
Yeah.
So it might be interesting to look at, but honestly, it's so one-sided that there's not much in terms of like interesting techniques or play. I don't think there's that much to take away from it, other than I was in a really bad matchup. I had to get very lucky in order to have a chance. I needed a couple of things to go right. I needed to get a double gallows on one of his heavies, pull it into threat range and kill it before the engagement happened. Unfortunately, the first gallows missed and the second gallows did not roll high enough to make up for it. So that didn't happen. And then the second thing that I needed was when his heavies went into my heavies, for one or two of them to roll really bad and not kill their target. But actually, with Abby's feet, that's incredibly unlikely. And all of them went in, rolled average dice, and killed their target with two or three fury to spare. Okay. All the Carnivians were even able to put up spiny growth and still have fury left over. So, yeah, it's a tough matchup. I needed to be really lucky. I wasn't, and I got smashed.
Okay. So, so Grimkin are not unbeatable.
No, I have to say, I should just add, of course, that obviously Martin played it really well. I do have a chance in that matchup if my opponent makes mistakes. You know, if they don't concentrate their force correctly, if they let me get away with killing models piecemeal, or getting cheeky scenario points, or contesting zones, and he didn't let me do any of that, right? He played it by the numbers and just took me apart piece by piece.
Okay. Martin, what was your game to remember?
I always try to remember the losses that better. So my loss versus Pat was the one to remember. I already started thinking, what can I do to not forget a very simple thing, like, because we had a matchup, old witch, tree versus Jaga, and I think I have picked the list correctly, more or less. Well, probably Barnabas would have an easier time versus old witch, but probably would have more difficult time versus Dreamer, so Jaga was the, I think, correct choice, but my placement of models and my forgetting the ambush on turn two, just the beginning, my turn one, that was a huge mistake. That game is also on video. It's like, so the game went pretty stably. You approached forward with all forces. I pushed forward not as far as I could, but because I didn't want to be charged by your little horses and shot too much. So I assumed I still have some time before the scoring started because I went second, and I've forgotten about the ambush, and I don't know why I did that, because I usually remember the ambush stuff, but I put my Brian, who was what was the, you put on him the marker of
Prey.
Mm-hmm.
Prey, yeah, and there was a marker Prey from those murder crows, which is because if it was only ambush, I forgot, but there was a market that I missed. Ambush,
I have to say, when I put Prey on Brian, because Brian is often used as a disposable missile, right? He always goes in fast and then dies. So I thought, basically, what you learn with Prey pretty quickly is you're never going to actually attack your Prey target, especially not with a melee unit. So you'd put it on something that's going to go in early and die, and then you can move your Prey to what you actually need to fight later in the game. And when you move Brian, I thought for sure you were going to remember and you were going to like ask for a take back. And then you looked at the Prey marker and you moved it as well. And I was like, for sure now you're going to say, whoops, can I move Brian? But you didn't. You just calmly continued with your turn. And only when I started placing murder crows like 5 inches away from that pig did you go, oh, no.
I'm not the one on asking for take backs on such large things, but I was so disappointed with myself. I wasn't even angry at that point. I was just, oh my God, what have I done? Yeah, but now I will learn for the future. If I have some stupid marker on me, probably I should remember.
Martin, I will drop something in. Yeah. Do you remember our games at our first master that we played and both forgot about the kill box at the same round and we lost the same way? It was the same situation.
Yeah. Now I don't forget. Yeah, I don't forget the kill box anymore. But of course that was one mistake that peak would have done some work and probably. Of course, it wouldn't be game-changing, but at least I wouldn't give up 15 points for nothing. And also, what I analyzed afterwards, I placed Sacra Vault on the left flank, thinking it would push the left flank forward, and I could, in the end, take the left flank. But in retrospect, I think that was the wrong choice, because I actually cleared your left flank. But Sacra Vault, if it wants to shoot, it has to move very slowly up. So even though I cleared the zone, I couldn't get to that zone unless I was running with Sacra Vault, which I don't want to do. Also, Sacra Vault is, I think, a tough thing to kill for your list because you cannot charge it because your models will die, and shooting it is a difficult task. Yep. With armor 20. It's difficult to debuff it because I can also Arcane Vortex your spells. So putting it centrally or even to the right flank, I think right flank would be better because I can enter my zone and I can keep it against your infantry. I can try and shoot your solo that is on the flank, even if you have a stealth or prowl. Doesn't matter. So that would be probably better choice. And also I can try to protect my heavies a bit from your infantry. Some of your angles would be blocked by Sacra Vault. You would have some troubles debuffing the heavy. And you've done a very good job of that. In retrospect, though, that were the mistakes I've done, and I think that I could have done better. And of course, I made like mistakes. I forgot Death Rage the whole tournament. I forgot Death Rage on every time my beast died. I never used Death Rage, and I need to start remembering my own rules. Also, I never use snacking that I have or critical decapitation. Also, I did not use it even once. So. What I forgot. I forgot also that you have stealth or murder crows, and I wasted one of my shots on that. So
general, mistakes were made.
I need to learn to keep my shit together. other than that, I'm pretty happy with the way the game went. Because I think attrition-wise, we were pretty equal.
Point of view was that was one of those games where our models matched up fairly evenly. I had so many dudes that it was hard for you to kill them all, but you had some models that I was never going to kill, like your Sacral Vault. The only way I ever kill that is if you let me by putting it within 10 inches of my one heavy. But the main reason that I chose to drop Bump with Old Witch was because of the scenario, which was Spread the Net. Mm-hmm. And that's obviously the fastest scenario. It has 5 active locations to score, and your army has such a small footprint. It's basically like 5 heavies and a battle engine, whereas my army was about 60 infantry. And I just knew that I thought our models are going to match up fairly evenly. We're going to trade fairly evenly. But I don't see how you can possibly do that and stop me from scoring points. Which is basically how it played out, I think.
Exactly. That is what happened.
Okay, so I maybe... But, yeah?
As I said, if I did put Sacrovald on the left on the right flank instead of left, I could have keep on cleaning the right zone mm-hmm. much easier, and maybe scoring there. And also one more mistake I remembered. At some point I have cleared the middle zone, and I could have scored there, but I was too afraid to put Jaga Jaga in there. And I killed all my infantry or my whole unit with feet to do damage yep. to you. And I should have left one guy at least. So if this happens, that I clear the zone, I should run the guy in, score, so that the distance that we are apart.
That's a great point. Her feet seems like it's really good for doing that, right? Because you can easily run a whole unit into a yeah. zone. Feet to kill all the contesting models and just leave one of the guys still in the zone.
Yeah,
exactly. So that were my points, and although I'm fairly happy from the game, it was a difficult match, and next time maybe I will not do that many mistakes, and maybe it will be better. But I wanted to note that my plan for this year was to get to second round, winning the first round in Invitational and getting to second round. So I've done that.
In January.
And if I have to lose to somebody in second round, I'm going to lose to Pat.
That's great. So what are you going to revise your goal for the year, considering you're only 18 days in and you've already achieved it?
Yeah. I have some goals with the amount of games, etc. But maybe I will the next get to the finals on some cons. This would be a this is pretty fast track.
I think you can manage.
But overall, I'm very happy with the con because I played on the con 10 games and I won 7. Two of them lost to Grimkin and one of them lost to Summer. And the one of the Grimkin losses was to Yupat, and one of the Signal losses was to Nemo 3, led by Jarle. So they were very, very difficult games.
Yeah.
I'm very happy with my showing on that comment.
I will highlight one of my games because that was something. I'm usually quite prepared against Protectorate because I played a lot in Poland. And I played against somebody that I never played before. I played War Machine since April 2016. So it's a year and a little bit more, like almost 2 years. And I never played against Harbinger. So I thought there was plenty of... The guy that was also in the finals with Pat in the Invitational, and he managed to get into the finals. So he was... He was really a good player, and he was also from UK. Kudos to Ben, that is living in Scotland. He played Harbinger with double Idrians and Hammer Dwarves, and I think he had also the Zealots. And I was going in with my Scar 1 because I thought it's okay. I can just Alpha Strike him, kill a lot, and then survive the another round and kill him again and win. But it seems that unless you play against some caster that is really different than everything else, and you don't have any previous experiences against Harbinger, that you don't know what you are facing against. And I played everything wrongly. I lost a lot of time, as I always do when I'm new in the matchup. And besides, I just felt like I was knocking myself on my own feet because my battle engines could not move because of the Sanctifier that I very often meet in POM matchups. But it seems that I forgot about that. My Stalkers could not go into and kill things with grievous wounds because my battle engines were in the way, and I just couldn't do do much because he was what's the name of the skill that she is using to sacrifice herself's wounds to get people living. But do you know the name of the thing?
Martyrdom.
Yeah, martyrdom. Yeah, right. So the heating was not the problem. The ashen veil and the minus two to the heat rolls from the living models doesn't work on Kriegs, and I had dark guidance. So it seems that everything will be fine. I will just kill a lot of protectorate dudes. But I just was not playing correctly. So after looking at the other games that he played, because I tried to get a look at this caster and how it plays out, I think that due to the changes in the meta and due to the less shooting that is less prevalent right now, that Harbinger can make a comeback, because there is not, I think, harder slog than if unless you have a lot of grievous wounds or like you had in the finals, Anthropic Aura that just shut down her heart. But other lists can really struggle to manage the clock, manage the scenario, and not to lose on attrition against guys that are not dying, okay? So this is my take on the games that I encountered, that from the older games that I played. This was something that you think that you know how to play, and you think that you know the faction, but it seems that such a strong and different caster than any, because I played against Vindictus, Severius, both of them, Amon, most of the casters, but Harbinger is totally different than the rest. So if there is any POM protectorate players listening, give it a try. If you don't have a lot of signal, or maybe like Pat said, a lot of convergence, shooting convergence in the field, give it a try. I think it's worth it, and it's really something different in the meta right now.
Rafał, what are you doing? People don't keep
No, I want to share the knowledge, okay? This is should be informative. Okay? People should listen and get something.
Stick to
the wall. Yeah, I love killing dervishes. Oh my god, they just pop.
Of course, I'm just kidding. I think Harbi is bonkers, and probably in the current meta she can make people cry. Yeah. All right. So I think we're through the games, and we can speak a bit about the meta currently, how it evolved, etc. Because we had two big events, one in States, ATC, and one in Europe, and a bunch of statistics coming in, and they all showed some trends that a lot of people are playing Kriegs, right? And yeah, that was one common thing. There was a lot of people playing Kriegs and Signar in ADC.
And circle marching, don't forget about the circle. Circle was not present at all, okay? Circle. And now it's fourth, I think, in the ATC, and also was very popular in Conquest. So
yeah, at Conquest, yes, there was they did averagely, I would say, in Conquest, but this is just, so to say, beginnings. We said it before that the faction spread was pretty good, and we could see that Grimkin is performing very well everywhere, and probably maybe still that the faction is new still, and not everybody gets a grasp how to play around the arcanas, so this might be the reason for the
so success, it right? Could be. I think one of the reasons Grimkin is doing well right now is, despite the fact they're popular, people aren't really teching for them, or they're not teching for them in the right ways. I think Gremlin Swarms have been totally overhyped, and while they are a useful addition to the list, they're not what wins you the game, right? What wins you the game is your incredible war beasts. And the support around them, and the Gremlin Swarms are only a small piece of that. And every time I speak to people who are teching for Grimkin, all they talk about is how I can kill gremlin swarms. And they don't actually talk about beating the rest of the list. And it's got to the point where in a lot of games, I just write off the gremlin swarms and then set about to fighting their army with my army. And they just don't have the right tools. Okay. So I think that's part of it. I was speaking to Brandon Andrews after the ATC. And one of the things he mentioned was he felt a lot of the teams, including his own, weren't really prepared for Grimkin. And a lot of people seemed to think that Grimkin was a good matchup for them. And then when they played the game, they discovered it wasn't. So, yeah.
Yeah, what I'm thinking is that might be my wild theory, but I think that Grimkin is one of the reasons also the witches from Kriegs is the second one, while the gunlines are being pushed out temporarily from the meta, because Grimkin are extremely resilient versus shooting, and the Kriegs feet.
You mean the coven?
The coven, yeah, the witches from the coven. The coven is making the shooting. The shut downs completely the shooting army, and then to later it's too late. So maybe those two combined decreased incredibly the gun lines in the meta, because I never saw a tournament with so few gun lines, I would say.
Yeah.
I'm not speaking about the ATC, but about the Conquest. Right.
Yeah, I think there's still a few, but you're right, they're not as prevalent. For Signar, people have moved away from their more traditional gun lines and are playing Gravediggers. And although Gravediggers can definitely be built as a gun line, it's often a bit more combined arms.
Yeah.
And then I've noticed Kador players don't seem to be playing Vlad Rockets as much anymore.
Yeah.
So that gun line seems to be reduced in the matter as well. And but most factions, although even if they have a strong gun line option, right now are choosing to play more aggressive scenario lists or more resilient lists.
Yeah, I think that the funny thing is that we spoke about that with Marcin during our stay at Hopel, that if he took Kane 3, list into that con, and he took for example Striker 2 as a pair, or Nemo 3, whatever, I think that Kane 2 would really love to play into at the Conquest, because the Grimkin were not having a lot of shield guards. Kriegs was not prepared to face the assassination from Kane. At least my Kriegs was not prepared for that. And I'm already past the Kane, that standard shooting list, let's say Nemo, High League 2 with double battle engines, or Kane 3 with a lot of charges. I'm already past with the Coven. I'm going with Scar because I like the damage output. I like the Grimkin, Scar into Grimkin and different heavy lists. So that's funny that maybe we will see soon the resurgence of standard shooter list, because people meta is not prepared and it will go all around and around and around.
Maybe. Yeah. I do think there's one significant element, though, regardless of lists, which is just the steamroller packet, right? People have realized how fast the steamroller is, and that really hurts any gun line. Even if the list is not prepared to fight a gun line, you can play to scenario and have a great shot. And the gun line player has to do a lot of things they don't want just to stop themselves from losing on turn 3.
Yeah, that's maybe a problem. That people that are playing like me, that are playing melee-oriented armies, don't see that. And that's why I think that the gun lines could make a comeback. But when it will happen, I will just play for the scenario instead for the attrition and still have a chance at winning. So, yeah, you are right that maybe it's more complicated than most of the people think.
Yeah, I do agree with you that it's only a matter of time before it springs back around. But that might not be until we get a new scenario packet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe this is the third thing that pushed out the Gamines, that the scenario game. I remember that especially that for WTC we took a Centurion to my new release that was keeping me in scenario, and it was doing a perfect job, like 24 arm, no charging, Centurion with no knockdown and no pushes. He was really doing his job, and I had to put that 17 point piece in the shooting list so I don't lose out to lose on scenario, and it was a right choice. So yeah, what does strike you? What else changed in last months in the meta? What do you think?
Crix and Signa becoming less popular is interesting. It's not too surprising because they both received a couple of nerfs, but at the same time, they also received a lot of interesting new stuff. I think for Crix, people have given up on Ghost Fleet preemptively.
Yeah.
And also, I think a little prematurely, I think that list is still amazing. But players have obviously been lured away by other exciting themes, and they know that nerfs are coming, so that they're not really playing that list. But yeah, Crix is definitely reducing. I think the lists that are really strong right now that aren't getting enough play are Convergence, which I already talked about, but also Scorn, which impressed me as being, in my opinion, it's one of the top factions in the game. That was hammered home to me at WTC. List builds in Winds of Death are very, very good and can take on the field. And then they have a lot of other strong builds from the other theme forces that can complement them.
Okay. I think that the Scorn problem is that people are really not listing the Scorn list. And it seems that people are not exploring the potential that Scorn has. You'll see a very similar list in different events from the different people and using the same archetypes like Shuti Rashet, Makeda Cats, and sometimes Archidons or Mele Spam with low cost beast with Zepsis, I think. Is it mm-hmm. two or something like that? But there are so many warlocks that are not used. There was a guy with Morgul, I think, playing, and he was playing against you, Pat, or not? With the Morgul that was.
Yeah, we played in Masters, I think.
Yeah, and it was also, he was doing pretty okay, I think.
Yeah, he did great, very close game.
Yeah, exactly. So there are Scorn players, there are a lot of interesting casters in your warlocks, in your faction, so go check it out. Don't always use Makeda cards, because if you meet stalkers, that you won't be happy. So,
I noticed also that Scorn did not do very well, but there was a lot of Scorn on both tournaments. So in comparison, there was quite a few Scorn players. Maybe they have also traveled to fit the meta changing for a second. The pace at which the meta changes is pretty fast all the time. But I also noticed that Trollbots at ATC, they done very well, and there was quite a few Trollbot players, so they are picking up the pace and also trying to get to the top.
I think that I remember that when I was at SmokeCon, and this year it will be a BonesCon in UK, trolls were very popular in UK. So I think that after the BonesCon this year, in a month, we will see more data from the trolls. Do you agree, Pat?
It's definitely possible. Trolls have always been really popular in the UK, and they're really strong right now. They have a lot of good casters, a lot of good theme forces. I think it's only a matter of time before they start to pick up.
And with Legion winning the Masters, we think that CID is good for them, but they have, because I was dodging a little bit Legion, because I happened to buy on a good with a good price a Legion army that is painted, and I was checking the list, and I think they are not so bad as people seem to think.
Definitely agree.
All right. I think we'll slowly wrap up. I just want to say one more thing, because that was showing up. People were fixating themselves on the percentages and either calling for nerf the whole faction or calling for buff for whole faction, etc. The people have to keep in mind that it's a single tournament and a snip, a moment of time in the whole gaming, let's say, gaming system. So it might be that during this one, the faction did not do well, because there is how do you call the mind of connected mind?
Hive mind.
Try to go. Yeah, hive mind mentality in groups, and people start doing similar lists, and the faction goes to a similar direction. So it's very often that you go to a tournament and you see there is in this faction prevalent is, for example, Haley Tree, Nemo Tree list. They are very similar, and if the whole if a tournament as a whole or a text versus those two, the signal will be below the curve and they will not do very well. That's my idea how it works. And sometimes the percentages are bad, but it doesn't mean the faction is bad. And sometimes they are over the top, like in case of Conquest, there was a Legion 91% win rate, because the one very good player had a very good win streak and made it. But it doesn't mean that Legion needs it needs a nerf. So just keep it together.
Yeah. Do it professionally, but still, it's just a game, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I very like statistics, looking at them, getting them together, but I don't get fixated on that. So
okay,
do the same. All right.
We have one more question to Pat that we spoke about earlier. If you could just give us a shout out to the incoming events in UK that you think are worth visiting in the next 6 months, let's say, Pat.
Yeah, so there's always a lot of big events in the UK. We also have some smaller events going on as well. So one of the things that we've instituted this year in the UK is we have a UK Super Series, which is a series of local steamrollers played all over the UK, which culminate in an invitational event later on in the year. So if you're in the UK, I'd encourage you to attend those. But for people outside, there's two big events happening reasonably soon. About a month from now, we have BonesCom, which is the successor to SmogCom, changed in name. That is happening in February. It's at the point now where it's coming really close, but there's still a couple of tickets available. And if you're interested in coming along, that's an event that does War Machine, but does other games as well.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest event of War Machine in Europe right now, I think, except WTC.
It's the biggest con in Europe. I have to say this year, it might not be the biggest War Machine event, because it has a lot of presence from a lot of other games. Infinity,
yeah, okay.
Malifaux, 40K, Guild Ball. So it's going to be much more diverse. So it might move from being a big War Machine con to just being a big con that has War Machine, if that makes sense. But that might be appealing to some people who play different games. And then in terms of War Machine exclusive, the next big event in the UK is the Welsh Masters. That is in May on the 19th. That's run by Martin Jenkins, always a fantastic event. It's a two-day, 128-player event. So usually goes for, I think, 7 or 8 rounds over the 2 days. But Martin is a great host, always puts on a fantastic show. And that one is well worth traveling to if you're interested in just playing a lot of good games of War Machine.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot, Pat.
All right. So thank you, Pat, for joining us today. It was, as always, fun to talk to you. And I hope we...
Yeah, it was great. Thanks for inviting me, guys.
Thanks a lot, Pat.
Thanks a lot.
See you next time. Bye-bye. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to Boxcars. I hope you liked it. See you soon.